Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. My name is Muiwa.
My name is Oluwani Femi.
And I'm Emmanuel.
How are you guys doing? It's been a crazy week, hasn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happening.
I wish I can explain in words. COVID, but yes, you're everything. Right.
Everything's all about this. Yeah. But what I found interesting this week now is what is going on in America with GameStop, AMC, BlackBerry, and a few other struggling companies. And it's looking like a case of the people versus Wall Street.
Yeah.
Because Wall Street, everybody's always like, you guys remember Occupy Wall Street?
Yeah.
In the, was it 2010? So now it's like Reddit users, a couple of amateur trading investors winning against Wall Street. Very interesting stuff.
It's just like, rich people have been the one dominating the stock markets, right? Institutional investors, corporations, and those guys, the typical Wall Street people. But now the regular man is sticking it to them. And yeah, it's quite interesting. I mean, hedge fund managers were trying to short sell the stocks of those companies so they could make profits. Then these Reddit guys, anyone you see that those hedge fund managers go after, they'll start buying their stocks.
So to increase they are trying to short sell. Have you watched Billions? I learned this thing from Billions, the Showtime series. So what they normally do is they'll borrow the shares from, so let's say for example, like what they did with GameStop now. GameStop, because they borrow the shares from someone that owns the shares. So let's say they are buying the shares what's the share rate now? Let's say they are buying the shares at $50 a share. They borrow it and they sell it immediately at that $50. Then they try and either they wait because they are sure that the company's shares are going to drop, or they do something to make it drop. Like for example, the guy from last year.
Influencing.
The ones that tried to short sell Jumia. Can you remember the name? Or the ones that tried to short sell
Jumia? Andrew Left from Citron.
Exactly. So they may write an article saying, oh, Jumia, this business is horrible. Or they may go to extremes like they did in Billions. There was one particular food company. They poisoned a certain batch so that people were just vomiting over the place. Once the share drops, they now buy it back. They now buy it back at that lower price, then give it to the person they borrowed the share from, which they have gained. So if it was $50 when they bought it, and when they borrowed it, they sold it at that $50, then it dropped to $10. They buy it back at that $10. Give the owner of the share that they borrowed the share back, and now they've gained $40.
Wow.
So now these Reddit guys, they came together. I think it's called the Reddit sub. It's called Wall Street Bets.
That's what they do.
There. A couple of guys and women, men and women, who are like, all these guys that are just doing all these evil things about, let's stop them.
Yeah.
So they came together and said, oh, stop buying shares in all this. It's really interesting.
Wait.
And I heard the White House is now involved.
Really? White House? What? How does it affect them?
Yeah, according to Fox, I saw it somewhere. The White House, they said the Biden administration gave a daily press, during his daily press briefing, the White House Secretary, Jen Psaki, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, told the media that Biden's economic team, including Secretary Yellen and others, are monitoring the situation, referring to the GameStop spikes. So they are monitoring it. And I think apps like Robinhood and Bamboo in Nigeria and Africa were at a point stopping. People were not able to buy shares in this GameStop and AMC and these other platforms. I think there's so much. The trading volume has gone so high that they're trying to stop it. But for me, it's just interesting to watch. I wish this happened. It feels like it happened in a movie.
The people with the power.
So yesterday on Twitter, a lot of Nigerians were bashing Bamboo and Chaka because they were like, this kind of thing is happening. AMC stock has risen by 200.
You're making us miss out of it.
Bamboo was, I had to clarify from some Bamboo executives and of course Chaka CEO, and they were like, SEC has to stop. When too much volatility has gone into his stock, people buying, people selling, they had to stop.
Exactly.
Yeah, but apart from that, though, I think Bamboo and Chaka servers, I think they were under much pressure, I think, this week.
Yeah, because Nigerians the like volume of trading was not normal. the trading volume was not normal. So, yeah. But it's an interesting time. It's really interesting. But now the hedge fund guys and the Wall Street guys are aware of this. They'll probably find a fail-proof way to do their short selling.
Yeah, most likely.
Right? Yes, because... Like, and again, the fact that there is a platform pushing it, like that person on Reddit that's pushing it, so it makes people to know more about it, and many people were actually latching on to it. It's something that will have gone, because I think that was what has helped them with the short funding in the past, because many people don't know about it. For them to fight back, they just become victim of either it's falling and them
lose their money.
So now, but everybody knows, even if you want to go and borrow money, let's boycott them, let's sabotage whatever it is they are trying to do.
And that's why they are now kind of afraid. I was reading somewhere, there are sentiments now, negative sentiments about apps like Robinhood. So they are now like afraid of them. Or Bamboo. Regulators are afraid of them. Because look at, when you look at it, these people who are like the biggest in Wall Street or the hedge fund, they usually have like
monopoly
in the whole. So they are actually afraid of the apps now. They will probably be paying more attention to it. And let's not forget that even in Nigeria, for example, our own SEC is paying attention to Bamboo, Chaka, Trove.
Gave somebody court order, did not come to court.
Interesting times. So this just shows the power of tech. How tech is democratizing access to all of these things. Like years ago, I never even bothered about whether I should buy shares. Anyway, let's go into the stories of Anyway, so let's get into the story of the day. Speaking about stock and investing and all of that, a Nigerian fintech startup, Cowrie Rise, raised $3 million Series A. That was big news for the week.
Yeah. It was actually pre-Series A. So probably
pre-Series
not...
A, I said that.
Yeah, so probably Series A is still on its way. So the fund was led by Kona Capital, a US-based VC firm, and they invest in African startups. I think Kona Capital has invested in Soko Watch. We reported that last year, February 2020. Yeah. And they have other investors on their other startups on their portfolio in Africa. But this will be, CarryWise will be the first Nigerian startup to be entering Kona Capital's portfolio, which is quite interesting. So their CEO is saying that they want to use the fund to expand their product offerings, and
Razak Ahmed, right?
And the co-founders Razak Ahmed and Edward Pupola. I hope I got that correctly.
So
they want to expand their asset classes and their product offerings, and of course they want to bring more fund managers. So if you're familiar with CarryWise, you could make some investments with the app. Though I've not used it, but I guess it's quite popular.
I used to.
So it's kind of like Piggy Vest. You can save.
You can lock save in money. Funds. Get.
You can lock in funds. Investments. I don't know about that one. Okay, maybe.
Yes.
Okay, like invest in crowdfunding farms.
Yes.
And some other Nigerian shares.
Oh.
Nice.
I used to use it.
So are you saying they'll be looking to add the ability to invest in Nigerian and US stock? Is that what you're saying, Emmanuel?
No. They didn't specifically say that, but they said they want to expand their asset classes. So I'm not sure yet what that will entail, but they said they want to make it accessible to more regions in Nigeria. I think they even said the app is also compliant with places governed by Sharia law in Nigeria.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, so no interest on... they don't do loans, do they? No, they don't.
They don't do loans. But it's quite interesting, and of course, we'll like... Just, I think they've raised $500,000 so far. So, and...
They're a YC-backed startup, aren't they?
Yeah, they're backed by YC in 2018. Yeah,
they're YC-backed startup.
Yeah, and of course, MicroTraction has invested in them. Then Catalyst Fund gave them an $80,000 grant in 2019 or 2018. So, yeah, it's quite interesting, and we hope to see more from them.
So, no regional expansion, just expanding within Nigeria.
Yes,
Okay, that's cool stuff. Congrats to them. And that just reminds me, we're supposed to mention, although there's the argument whether it's a Nigerian startup. I mean, it's a US-based startup. It was founded in the US, based in the US, but it's a Nigerian that founded it, Calendly. So some of you may have used it before to schedule meetings. They raised over 300 $350 million. Like they went from raising 500k like 7 years ago, no other money, and then next thing we just see from like zero to 1,000.
Really,
$350 million.
Okay, it's good news to start with. Well, the fact that a black-owned company in the U.S. has been able to survive for that long, going to its 8th year, bootstraps, even without raising any serious fund, and just out of the blues, it's out. Sorry, let me digress. I read the TechCrunch interview of the founder and CEO, Tokwe Awotona, and they mentioned when he actually reached out to TechCrunch earlier in the journey of the startup and was ignored. Right, so when TechCrunch now reached out to him, he now reminded them that I actually reached out to you at so point, and you are just replying me. So it's something to be proud of from a Nigerian-born founder making waves in the US.
And the interesting thing is now they are now valued at $1 million, so it's essentially a unicorn. No,
$3 billion. It's $3 billion.
Sorry. $3 billion. That was a mistake from me. Yeah, $3 billion. And I think the fact that he went so many years without raising money is a good sign of a healthy cash flow.
Right.
It shows that it's a real product that has already found it. That's why I'm still confused about why they need to raise that much money. But I understand he's going to use the money to expand to markets, like get to more people to use it.
Yes, and to also get more workforce to he said he wants to double the employee base. So probably because of the inflow of more users, they are getting more users. He claimed that last year they had over 1,000% increase in users. So more people were getting to use it because, well, more people are working from home, remote work. There are no board meetings, physical. There are no longer physical board meetings, and people want to schedule their day because remote work eats into your normal lifestyle. So yes, last year was a good year for Calendly, as far as I'm concerned, and it's showing the result this year. It's good. I was happy to see the news.
Okay, so good news for them, and congrats to the founder. And also, speaking about funding, reminding me that we have released the third annual edition of the Nigerian Startup Funding Report. That's funding report for 2020. And according to the report, Nigerian startups raised over $120 million in 2020. $120 million.
Wow.
More than 100 investors participated in the funding rounds of over 50 Nigerian startups. Fintechs were like the biggest. They took the biggest show of total funding. And even on the roll call of highest funding rounds, it was fintech startups. And of course, the report analyzes other things. There's year-on-year analysis, there are trends, details on the future startups. It also covers whether they are still raising or not, in case you are an investor. So you can get the report. It's just $75. You just go to intelligence.techpoint.africa. We'll put the link in the episode notes. So go and check it out. Report for 2020.
Bye.
Cool stuff. All right. Speaking about funding and reports, our West African Decade report that we launched last year revealed that only 10% of female or woman-founded and West African startups raised over $1 million in the last 10 years. That's sad. 10%.
Yes, just 10%. But yes, that again brings forward the conversation about the underrepresentation of women in tech. It's not just an African thing, it's a world thing. So in every way, many investors, concerned shareholders always find a way to give women the opportunity to be able to thrive in this male dominated space. So that's why early in the week, popular faces, I would say, in femtech in Africa, they are both Nigerians, they decided to come together and found angel investment fund, so they call it First Check Africa. It's focused on early stage women founders in Africa. So you don't have to have a startup yet, just have the idea. So as long as they can certify that it's high impact, then you will have access to $25,000 to get you on your feet. Yeah, so they are looking at investing in 6 startups to start with.
Just 6. Okay, that's a good start.
Yes, to start.
And of course, these are not just your every. These are not just any woman. These are women who have been successful in this.
Yes,
case.
Oduanyewini.
Oduanyewini
is a 2-time and, founder.
How do you pronounce the other name? Eloho.
Eloho.
Eloho. Eloho Omame.
Eloho Omame.
Okay, forgive me for.
Yes, yeah, so she has Endeavor been Nigeria. At the helm of affairs at Endeavor Nigeria. So yes, so these people, these two people, they understand the struggle for women, and this is not just about it's not just about putting men at a disadvantage. Now, this is a space founded by women for women. In fact, it's going to build a community where women angel investors will also bring in their funds. If they don't have the capacity of being a VC, and they will be able to invest in other women. So it's like a level playing ground for gender, gender in quotes, so people have to bring their quality. You don't have to be preferred over another gender. So you have to bring the quality. So it's like a quality war, no longer gender war. So if you fit in into their requirements, they have a Twitter handle, they have a Medium post.
What's the Twitter handle?
Okay, so you can connect with them on Twitter at First Check HQ, FirstCheckHQ, and also on Instagram, so that you can follow through with whatever requirements you are supposed to do. I don't know if they're already taking in cohorts. So
I see there's a website too, firstcheck.africa. There's a website too, firstcheck.africa. Okay, thanks for that, Ifeanyi. It's good to see things like this. I mean, putting money where the mouth is, and hopefully this is just one step in many other things. This will also inspire many other people to do the same. So cool stuff. And maybe by the time we're doing the next decade report, the numbers would have improved. It will be 10%, the horrible 10% anymore.
Hopefully.
Okay, so next story, WhatsApp. WhatsApp was trending this week.
This week. WhatsApp was trending. The first one was on Tuesday, right? It's just like saying GB WhatsApp trending. So for people who don't know what GB WhatsApp is, GB WhatsApp is like a clone of WhatsApp, not owned by Facebook. So just some developer somewhere that built a clone of WhatsApp that contravenes everything WhatsApp does not want. Every restriction that WhatsApp gives for official users, GB WhatsApp allows it. And
people.
The interesting thing is that GB WhatsApp is not the only clone that WhatsApp has. It is quite expected for the most popular messaging app in the world to have all those kind of clones. So I think there is Yo WhatsApp, WhatsApp Indigo, and other ones. But GB WhatsApp seems to be the most popular of the clones. So why did it trend? It gave an update that allows you to change your voice, probably during a voice call, video call, or when you're sending voice notes. And also there are other features that allows you to see a deleted message. That one was actually one of the things that caused the outrage. Why will I delete,
delete
a message? I'll delete message for everyone or delete my status after uploading, and you can still view it. I actually tested it. I uploaded my status on WhatsApp and asked, chat me up if you're using GB WhatsApp. So some few hours later, I deleted it. Some people have replied before then. I've deleted the status. Next thing, a message came in. I do. I was like, obviously you do, because I've deleted this status. So that is one of the things that was annoying people on Twitter.
It's weird to me that, because WhatsApp has been banning many of them in the past. It's weird to me that WhatsApp has survived this long. They've not been able to.
They're smart.
In fact, the developers in 2019 actually made a comment like that. Okay, they are giving up. They are no longer bringing updates for GB WhatsApp. So I was surprised to see that people are still conveniently using it. So the thing is, when WhatsApp couldn't stop these people from making clones, so they turned this thing to the users. If they realized that your WhatsApp account is not from the authorized source, there was a time they did a temporary lockdown of some accounts. They send the notification that for the next 3 hours or for the next 4 hours, you will not be able to use the account because you are using it from an authorized source. But still, it's not making people to stop using it. And when I ask people why they use it, they actually like the perks that come with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, being an advocate of safety, I was telling them that, the first time I actually joined GB WhatsApp in 2017, it was because of the perks too, because I wanted to be able to download people's status without asking them, please send. Because people, when they open status, don't tell me to send. They will add the caveat. So that was the reason I joined GB WhatsApp then. But it's not worth it. Because apart from your own safety, the safety of the people on your contact are also at stake. Because you're also going to give those people the same permission you give to WhatsApp. Access to your contact list, access to other information, personal information about yourself. And you are not even assured of end-to-end encryption. You can't do two-way verification. So those things should send you signals that this is not safe. And the fact that they are not even on the official app stores. You have to go to one website.
Yeah, of course.
Look for a link. You can't update them. You have to delete the one you have. Go and download another link with the updated version. That is too much stress for your safety. Of course.
And so people don't really care. They don't care. And we're talking about trust now, not trusting an unofficial version of WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, people don't trust WhatsApp. So there was a new feature that was launched.
Yes,
I just
saw
WhatsApp on my status.
Yes.
I'm like, what's happening here? And the first question I came, are ads coming now? Are ads coming?
That was the vibe I got too, actually. Because that is
I don't really check my status.
WhatsApp just literally reached out to everybody at once with the same message, without your consent, without asking you. So, it sends out this
using
signal.
Their app, so...
Yeah, so they have... It's just as if WhatsApp just saved their number on my contact and started sharing status with me.
They don't need to have your number.
We don't know if we should be expecting that. They own it.
I think we can expect ads. It's not a coincidence that just weeks before, Facebook updated its privacy policy talking about WhatsApp sharing data with Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You have to accept that.
Yes, these are beyond coincidences.
So once they know the kind of things you put, they can't read your private messages, no problem, right? But they know where you are, they know what kind of phone you are using, they know when you are online, they probably know who your contacts are and what your contacts also like, and they can also match with your phone number to match to your Facebook account.
Anybody whose status you can also see your status.
Exactly. So before you know it, you start seeing tailored ads to you. It's coming. There's no running away from it. Let's just leave WhatsApp to the team. We'll be watching them. The last thing that comes to mind for this week is the whole Nin saga. We talked about it last week. How the deadline for Nigerians to get their national identity number was unrealistic. And now it seems that NIMC, that's the body in charge of that, has enabled telcos to issue NIN numbers. How is that going to work, Emmanuel?
It's quite interesting that the Nigerian Identity Management Commission has given telcos the license to issue NINs, and of course they are going to, so people will not have to queue in they wouldn't have to queue in NIMC enrollment centers. Instead, they'll be queuing at telcos offices, because number one, a lot of people have to be going to telco offices to link their NINs to their SIM.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know how to do it themselves, and in fact, those that do, or
even with all the codes that have been
they would rather not take chances.
Promotion around USSD codes.
Yeah, they were able to take chances. Okay. So because I still know people that don't take chances with ATM machines. So there's that. They still go inside to inside banks to withdraw. So, but I'm digressing. So the main issue here is, from the experiences we've seen so far and our observations, we've observed that all these telcos and their offices, they are experiencing network issues, especially with when it comes to NIMC servers. So today, if you want to get, if you want to do a welcome back on your SIM, you would have to use your NIN or link your NIN while doing a welcome back to that SIM. But the issue now is these places have been filled with crowds already, with people trying to retrieve their line. And you are not adding NIN registration to the whole thing when this server problem has not been issued. I mean, my dad explained his experience. He had to go to like 3 different locations in Lagos mainland. Went to Jodu, a totally different local government. He went to Egbeda. And of course, he went to Kotu. Wow. Different parts of Lagos. But still the same thing happened. So, all things considered, right? I'm not sure how the new arrangement is going to work. And of course, when I went for the enrollment in NIMC's own centers, the experience was not funny. There was total disregard for social distancing or COVID-19 precautions that you would expect in a government office. So it appears the social distancing starts from the door of the NIMC enrollment center's office. But outside it, right at the very edge of the door, the catastrophe begins.
The crowd is
so it's a terrible thing. And
so you're not hopeful that moving the responsibility to the telcos is going to change anything, because the telcos are also
struggling with retrieving their own lines.
Yes.
Struggling with retrieving their own lines. So
you know the platform for registering NCC already, like months ago or weeks ago, that was last year, gave them the directive to stop registering.
Yes, that is still in place.
Does that have anything to do with that? It's the same platform.
It's that order is still in place, and people can still not buy new SIMs. And in fact, those people in those shops trying to retrieve their lines now, I'm guessing people that lost their lines, like my dad, and of course, rather than go through the hassle of retrieving it, they would have gone to buy another one.
But now they can't buy another one.
And they can't register it.
So right. They have to go and retrieve it.
Let's see how things goes. The deadline is coming close. The deadline, February 4th. Let's see what the NCC will do, or the NIMC will do. Whether they're going to block so many lines. Or, let's be watching.
In the midst of a pandemic.
Anyway, so if you've been following TechPoint this week, or even from last week, you may have noticed something new. We launched our daily newsletter. Our newsletter used to be weekly, but it's now daily.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very good. You get all the... If you subscribe to the newsletter, because we also publish it on the website, but a few hours late. So if you want all the hot gist in the morning, before anybody, so that when you get to work or anywhere you're going, before people start saying, they're wondering where how you know about all those things, just subscribe to the newsletter. You get the hot gist from Emmanuel and Nifemi before everybody else. We'll put a link to the newsletter, and we would like to hear feedback from you. When you read it, you can reply and send feedback. We'd appreciate that. It would be very helpful. Meanwhile, don't forget Nigerian Startup Funding Report for 2020 is out. You can go to intelligence.techpoint.africa. To check it out. Are we missing anything? Is there any news we missed?
Not really.
Okay, so if you are listening for the first time, this is the TechPoint Africa podcast. We also have a sister podcast called Built in Africa, where you get interviews with founders around Africa innovating. But this TechPoint Africa podcast is more about talking about the weekly happenings in tech and news. So if you are listening for the first time, whether it's TechPoint Africa podcast, or you go and check out Built in Africa, Emmanuel, where can
you can subscribe on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and of course anywhere else you get your podcast, but except SoundCloud. So avoid SoundCloud. And so for the TechPoint Africa podcast, you can, if you don't like all those apps, you can go to podcast.techpoint.africa. And for Built in Africa, you go to builtin.africa. And of course, don't forget to share with your friends, your enemies, and all your well-wishers.
Very important, especially your enemies. Nifemi, any parting words?
Yes, parting word. I'm sure you're as glad as I am that this January did not have 100 days. It has only 30 days, so it will be over soon. So
this January was actually fast.
It was fast, but just 40.
We'll see you next month. Just 40.
Hope to see you next month. Thank you for that. So we sign out now. Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye.